All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 14, chapter 2, and we're going to recap some things from last week about battling discouragement, and we're going to begin in verse 12 and go through verse 17. Part 2, battling discouragement. Remember, the theme of 2 Corinthians is what? Somebody tell me what I've been telling you. What is the theme of 2 Corinthians? Encouragement in troubling times, okay? All right, how many words did you get out of that? Now, when you do a search on Microsoft, you got to have so many words before you can come up with the right thing, right? So we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 through 17. Now, I would be amiss if we all know we get discouraged and we get disheartened by the trials and hardships of life. Well, number one, we live in these fallen bodies, okay? If you don't think your body's fallen, look at your neighbor. Amen? Our bodies are fallen, aren't they? And we live in a fallen world, sin-cursed world. And we have many trials and hardships that trouble with us, and like Paul said, they leave us hard-pressed, discouraged, and disheartened, even to the point of giving up and being afraid for your life. He says that in one of his passages. And we live in a world that's gone mad. You know, we as Christians need to get over what's happening in the world because it's prophesied it will happen. In a world gone mad, Jesus tells us that in the last days, lawlessness will abound. Spirit of Antichrist will be on the increase. He said it when he comes, it would be as it was in the days of Noah. And Paul was certainly no stranger to discouragement and disappointment. So let's stand in honor of God's word and begin in chapter 2, verse 12, and recap. Paul says in verse 12, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened to me of the Lord, he said, I had no rest in my spirit." Paul had no peace, no contentment. There was turmoil and discontent, because he could not find his colleague Titus. Then it goes on to say, "Because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" He's kind of taking a knock on the pseudo-apostles there. Verse 17, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ." Father, I pray this morning that we'll see the hope that Paul saw, that we'll have the focus that Paul had between his discouragement and his troubles, and that we'll be able to move from our trouble to triumph, just like Paul did. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Paul certainly had no rest in his spirit for reasons. I shared them with you last week. But number one, he could not locate his friend Titus in verse 12. Number two, the general hardships and the sufferings of the ministry, and you can read about some of them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 27. Number three, he had the cares of the church, 2 Corinthians 11, 28. Compounded with just being human and all the hardship that comes that way, also with the hardship that comes if you're going to penetrate darkness with the gospel and be an apostle to the Gentiles like he was, on top of that was the cares of the church compounded upon him. And then, specifically, in 2 Corinthians, he had the problems at the carnal church at Corinth. This was the church. Of all the churches that Paul founded, this was the church that gave him the most problem. Discouragement and disappointment because of spiritual immaturity. You find all these in the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. Shallowness, sin and indifference, selfishness, rebellion against his apostolic authority, the feuds and fusses that were going on in the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Pride and the misuse of spiritual gifts. And then on top of that, don't forget the pseudo-apostles that were running them down all the time and being influential to the Corinthian believers. So it was a dark time in the Apostle Paul's life. And he was battling discouragement, possible depression, and even unto death. But something happened that I shared with you last week between verse 13 and verse 14. He took his eyes off his problem and put his eyes on his privileges, okay? He began to see the triumph that he follows Christ in this, and a triumph of victory. And I shared with you last week how he used that word triumph back there in verse, let's see, where I find it at, verse 14. And he talked about the Roman triumph. It's called a triumph when they would give a triumph for the returning victor general. And they'd have this parade, and all people made up this parade. And they were honoring the conquering hero. So he thought about this Roman triumph when he thought about, you know, Christ is leading us in victory as well. I'm following Christ in triumph and not defeat. And when he did that, his attitude began to change. I shared with you last week that some 1,500 pastors a month get out of the ministry. Not all are disqualified. Not all are misuse their office. But a lot of them just get plain out discouraged and tired of the things like Paul had to put up with in his ministry, and it weighed heavy on him. But Paul got his spiritual balance. You know, what happens when we get so overcome by our discouragement as a believer? We get off spiritual balance. Our equilibrium, our spiritual equilibrium gets off balance. We totally focus on our problems rather than who we are and what God has done for us. Can I get an amen there? And we need to get our spiritual balance back. And you know, as physically we can do it that same way. You can't get up as fast as you used to get up, and you lose your balance, don't you? Right? I get up, I'm like, well, I don't want to go into it too deep, but I get up and sometimes I'm like I'm drunk, you know? And I know I'm not drunk in the spirit, right? And I know I'm not drunk in liquor, spirits. But you just, your equilibrium is not what it used to be, right? And even for Ben, right? And Faye's sister the other day, went in the bathroom and lost her balance, you know, and had to mash her little alert button. And she didn't want an ambulance, so she asked him to call her son, and he came and got her up. I would recommend any of you who live alone to get you an alert system around your neck. You can mash that button. Don't be so proud that you don't need no help, okay? Get that little button and mash it. It'll only work about 200 feet, so you can't be out there in your pine trees like Brother Ben. You know, it won't listen to you, okay? Yeah, cell phone. If you have a cell phone, you can do it. Okay, well, we're not in there. That's not our exposition this morning, but... But something happened between verse 13 and 14 here. Paul took his eyes off his problems and his discouragements and put them on who he was in Christ. Four great privileges that I want to share with you for all of us because we're in this triumphal procession of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Notice first of one. Number one, has John got that up yet? Okay. So it's, somehow or another, our projector, our computer back there on its own went to starting downloading Windows 10. So it's still downloading Windows 10 and we're not able to show it. I didn't mash no buttons. I don't know what happened. But blame it on Obama. Amen. But what's the first privilege that we have? Well, number one, we're led by a sovereign Lord. Do you know that? You are led by a sovereign Lord. Look in verse 14 again. He says, now thanks be unto God. See, he turned from discouragement and began to think about this Roman triumph. And he said, now thanks be unto God, which causes us to triumph in Christ. He understood that we are led by a sovereign God. We could say it this way. Now thanks be to God who always causes or leads us. If we're going to be victorious over discouragement, by the way, I've shortened this so for the Lord's Supper. But if we're going to be victorious over discouragement and trials, we must understand that we're following a sovereign Lord. And he always leads his believers through every circumstance in life. Y'all know what I believe and what I teach. I believe in the providence of God. I believe that there's nothing happens into you in your life that he's not in control of it. Can I get an amen? Amen. And he's putting, the question is not to ask, why did this happen to me? But God, what is it you're trying to teach me? Right? Everything that comes in our life is under the control of a sovereign Lord. Why? Because if we're following him in triumph, then we're in this parade and he's in control, you see? So God is in control. We have a choice when faced with trials and hardships. We can say, woe is me. We can focus on the trial and the hardship. And we have two choices. We can understand that we're being led by a sovereign God, or we can fret and worry and fall to pieces. That's it. So we're led by a sovereign Lord. What else privilege does Paul have here that he sees and that we have because we're in this parade? Number one, we're promised victory. You see that in the latter part of verse 14. To triumph in Christ. Just like the conquering Roman general was leading his troops and the captives and all this, and they were throwing flowers down, the priests were in the parade, and they had their burning incense, and they were going by, and a sweet smell of a fragrance and aroma was going off of that. Christ leads us in triumph over sin, hell, death, and the grave. Amen? The worst thing to happen to you is not that you would get an illness and die. The worst thing to happen to you is you go to hell, right? And y'all know where I'm at with this. You know, we act like we spend all our time praying for our loved ones. They'll not get sick and go to heaven. And then when after they get saved, we pray that they won't get sick so they can go to heaven, right? And we're that way, aren't we? And we don't look at these things through the eyes of Scripture, you know? I don't think he's going to make it. He's not looking too good. Hey, he never looked better, right? He never looked better. And you know when you're in a funeral home with me and we're standing there together looking at the casket, don't say to me, he looks good, because he's not there. Amen? His body's there, but he's not there, right? I hope he goes to heaven, whoever he is, right? But it need to come to faith in Jesus Christ. So we are led by a sovereign Lord. We are promised victory. We don't need to live defeated lives. Why are we discouraged if a sovereign Lord is leading us? Can I get it? Huh? Because a sovereign Lord is leading us, and we've been promised victory. But number three, verse 14, we have influence for Christ. Why has he left us here? Worship our own little world, to build our own little kingdom. Look what he says. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. There is a sweet aroma here from the incense in this Roman general's parade. And that speaks of the sweet aroma going up to Christ and the sweet aroma that we are should be to other people. We're having trouble right now with Lowe's for the last year and a half. I don't know if we're supposed to mention businesses in the pulpit, but I am, and we've had trouble with them with our flooring. And my sweet aroma has gotten sour, amen, going on as you battle with these people. They're supposed to come out Wednesday and make it right. But we are a sweet aroma that goes up, just like the priest and their incense, and the flowers that were thrown on the parade route from the Roman general. And do you know, Barbara, is this not true? When you smash a flower, it smells, right? Okay. She said, I guess so. Let's go over here. Okay. But that's when they let off a fragrance, right? And don't even think about mashing a stink bug, right? They let off a fragrance, right? Paul says it this way, if I might could say it this way, God in grace manifests through believers the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Christ in every place. And we give off the fragrance of the gospel. See, the focus is not the container. We are the containers of the gospel. The focus is not the container, but the focus is Christ and the gospel, right? The focus is Christ and the gospel. The issue is not success, but privilege. So why do we get discouraged? I've never saved anyone in my life. I've never built a church. I've never been able to make people to come to church. I've never been able, I've made some not want to come to church, right? I've never done anything. It is Christ who has done it through us, right? All right, I'm going to keep y'all a short time here, so y'all are not justifiably going to sleep on me, okay? All right? You have no justification to snooze, because if you snooze at my short sermons, I'm going to invite a guy in here going to preach an hour and a half, right? And then you won't come at all, right? So why do we get discouraged? Because he's never called us to be successful. He's called us to be faithful. Am I not right with you? Right? So we're led by a sovereign Lord. We're promised victory. We have influence for Christ. But then number four in verses 15 and 16, we can please God in Christ. He says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and them that perish. To the one we are savor of death unto death. To the other, savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? So Paul likens here his ministry, if you will, to a fragrance of Christ unto God. The sweet aroma of Christ is manifest to people, and the gospel ascends, sweet aroma of the gospel ascends to the very throne of God. To those who are lost, it is aroma of death unto death. You know, when you're around lost people and you witness to them, you are a aroma. The gospel is an aroma of death unto death, because their rejection of it means they go to eternal hell. To those who are saved, it's aroma of life unto life. But life. But it's interesting here that in this Roman triumph, if we can go back to that just a second, both the victors and the conquered smelled the same aroma. Are you with me? But one, it was life unto life, and the other, it was death unto death. So I want to tell you, this has been a great passage for me to discover, and in my ministry, I needed it right now. But Paul found out that in his discouragement and disappointments and disheartenments, something happened between verse 13 and 14. He got his focus right? And he began to focus on the Roman triumph and how Christ leads us. We follow him in victory here. And so he began to contemplate in verses 14, 15, 16. He began to contemplate the privileges he has and took his eyes off his problems, right? Oh, we're human, you know. When things don't go our way and hard times come into our life, woe is me, we focus on it and we tell everybody about it and we focus on it and that won't do any blasted good thing for us. You know what? It's not going to change your circumstances. But it will when you change your focus and look to Christ and look to the gospel. Look at what he has done for you and look for what you have. Now, beginning Wednesday night, we're going to begin an exposition of 1 Peter chapter 1, understanding our great salvation. And boy, I love to talk about what we have in Christ. I love to talk about our salvation. It's not we're going to try to get anybody saved again. Okay, if you're saved, you're saved. It's that we're trying to get our people to understand what they have because they're saved. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. No invitation.